brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The more I learn about this Dean Barclay, the more I like him. Anti-New World Order, anti-global government. Get us out of the war day one. Try to arrest the bankers, end the bailout, banker takeover. And I got home last night like 1 and went and Googled him. And I'd heard about him. And Ted had told me I ought to have him on last week. He recommended it. I just never got around to it. And told me how great he was and part of the, you know, at the Ron Paul Liberty meeting and everything. And I went and pulled up that he was, the 34% are undecided. He was talking about 37% undecided, the good chance he's got of winning if people take action. I just wish I'd have known about this months ago. But Ventura's been so busy shooting 3 different pilots that I haven't talked to him much to. And there's so much going on to even focus on Minnesota politics, but that's national because it's a senator. So we're going to keep him with us for another 20 minutes. We're going to take your phone calls. And, you know, I don't screen calls here. But specifically, when we have a special guest on a certain issue, you can only call in on that issue. And we do that about once a week or so, maybe every 2 weeks. Not very often. The point is, only for Senator Barclay. And you can ask him about any of his policies or bring up any issues with that. 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. He was a senator appointed by Governor Ventura when Wellstone died for a month, so that's why he has the title senator. We want to send him there officially. Okay, we got about 3 minutes till we break in this quick segment. We're going to come back and take calls. Tell us about your platform, Senator Dean Barclay.
Well, my platform is pretty simple. I'm a fiscal conservative. I think that our country is going down the tubes, the $11 trillion debt. How much more are we going to put in our, it's not our kids anymore, now it's our grandchildren. We're going to saddle with this atrocious debt. We've got our economy now based upon the goodwill of China to buy our bonds. What would Thomas Jefferson think that our whole economy now is based on China buying bonds? I mean, the position that they put ourselves in is just incredible. I mean, I can't believe it. But I'm a social moderate. I believe the government should stay out of our personal life too. You know, you have the right to be stupid. And as long as you aren't hurting anyone else, you know, leave us alone. So I guess I'm the true conservative on both the social issues and the spending issues.
What would you call that, kind of little L libertarian? Or?
Yeah, I'd say a little libertarian. I score very well on the libertarian test. We have a libertarian party here. I think that we have to do a little bit more than just build roads and defect our borders, but not much. I think we need a limited government. We need a smaller government. Our government is too large. And, we're going to have to start having the debate of, you know, we're $11 trillion in debt, folks. I mean, we have to start having the debate of what we can stop doing, not new things we're going to do for people.
How are you on the Second Amendment? How are you on the?
I call the Second Amendment as the ultimate guardian of all the others. Does that say it all?
And so you're for Vermont-style carry nationwide?
I think people, I mean, thank God the Supreme Court said it's just not to protect our hunting rights. Everyone in this country has the right to carry arms. And, yes, we have to make sure that convicted felons and mentally ill people do not get their hands on it. But beyond that, no, that's our right to have, and we can collect guns. We can have as many guns, not the type, but the government shouldn't say what kind of guns you can have. We have the right to carry arms. We do. And that was a right given to us, and we've got to protect that as strong as the First Amendment.
So you'd repeal a lot of the federal gun laws. As a
yes.
Senator, you'd try that.
Yes.
That's exciting. Continue. Where do you stand on... specifically on the war, what would your plan be to get us out of there?
Well, one thing is that, you know, the Congress has the ability to end that war by stop the funding. I mean, they're the ones that have to put the funding bills in. Like I said, I would not vote for one new spending authorization for Iraq without a firm timetable for withdrawal. Now, everyone wants us out of Iraq. Even the Iraqi government wants us out. The only one dragging their feet is Bush. And it's time to sit down and say, okay, how much time does it really take to safely get our troops out of there? I think we could do it within 6 months to a year. The very most is to get our troops out of that country. We never should have been there. We've done enough. I don't want to lose one more American soldier to that battle anymore. We've done our part. We've put that country back together. Now it's time for them to determine what they want for themselves. We believe in self-determination.
But the bankers are making hundreds of billions a year in no-bid weapons contracts and $15 million blue $5 tarps. We'll be right back with Senator Dean Barclay.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Burmes is going to be riding shotgun the last hour and 40 minutes. Sela Castillo, speaking of guns, former DEA agent who witnessed government narcotics trafficking, set him up on a gun charge. He was a school teacher. Claimed he was selling guns illegally, selling a friend a gun, and then buying some guns from an informant who kept pushing them on him. It's like Ruby Ridge, what they did there. Just amazing. That's coming up. I want to take your phone calls for Senator Dean Barkley. He was there appointed for a month when Senator Wellstone died. He's trying to go back there, and it's senatorbarkley.com. Drugs. I mean, the CIA, 6 months ago, a plane crashed in Mexico at 3.3 tons, CIA aircraft. In fact, it was the well-known plane used to carry people for torture to black op camps in Europe. What would you do with the phony war on drugs? The bigger it gets, the more drugs we have on the streets.
Well, I said the war on drugs has been a miserable failure. It has never worked. Every time you make something illegal, you just create a whole different class of criminals. We haven't learned anything from prohibition. We have to stop putting addicted people into jails and give them the treatment that they need. We need to legalize, we need to regulate, and then we can tax it. Maybe that can help us balance our budget.
Well, you know, heroin, cocaine, and everything was sold at every major pharmacy in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that were addicted to it, but I've seen all the different numbers from the time, much lower, about a third what it is today. And, you know, if you dig around in the countryside or the city anywhere, you find all the old laudanum bottles and things, which was opium. And
yep.
Some people did get on it. But you
yeah,
had,
they did.
But you didn't have these feds sneaking around looking in your windows. You didn't have them shipping it in to make the profits. You didn't have the police being corrupted by it. And only a third as many people would go. I mean, what was snake oil? It'll cure all your ails. You're depressed. Drink this cocaine.
I think Coca-Cola had cocaine in it at one point.
It did until the mid-30s. Yeah, it had a lot of cocaine in it. In fact, the secret ingredient in Coke, and this is admitted, is denatured. It's like decaffeinated coffee. It's decoconated cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they, quote, have their secret ingredient plant is in Colombia.
Well, we got to stop making people that make bad choices and get themselves addicted criminals. It doesn't make any sense. Our prisons are full of them, and it's because they're addicted. Let's treat the addiction, and let's quit making criminals out of everybody. People are going to get addicted. They are going to make bad choices, but we shouldn't have to have them resort to a life of crime in order to do it. It makes absolutely no sense. This war on drugs has never worked. Anyone living on the Texas border knows how bad it is down there. It's a war zone. And that's because we've made it illegal, and we've made a lot of bad people very mm-hmm. wealthy by making criminals out of this. And we've got to come to a grip and say, hey, this isn't working, folks. Let's try something else.
Well, the war on drugs started back in the 30s, and it officially kicked off in the 80s. And when you make something, you know, cost hundreds of times what it should, it creates larger criminal elements. The government is laundering the money. The banks are laundering money. It's actually working very well for their aims, and that's why you got crackheads carjacking people and robbing folks where yep. they should be at treatment facilities. And the establishment knows that, and they're totally intellectually bankrupt. They've been caught hundreds of times shipping in the drugs. And you know, we've got to turn this around, and we've got to stop it. What would you do?
I've been advocating that position for 16 years, ever since I got into politics in 1992.
Ventura says you were instrumental in getting him to run.
Tell
us a little bit about it, your history with the Governor Ventura.
Well, Jesse was the honorary chair of my 1996 run for U.S. Senate Minnesota. I was trying to get the Independence Party major party status, which means I had to run for the Senate and get 5% of the vote, which I did. But he walked my hometown Annandale 4th of July parade in 1996, and I noticed that everybody was cheering for him and ignoring me. And I turned to him and said, you know, the wrong guy's running. You're going to run next. Well, he laughed at me. But I worked on him for a year. I recruited him to run for governor. I ran his campaign, and we shocked the world in 1998. So we showed that it could be done. And I'm right on track where we were 10 years ago. This campaign is almost exactly where Jesse's was, except that people are much more upset right now, and they have every right to be. They've just seen their 401ks disappear because of government. And I think the timing is right. This is going to happen again. And then
now, let's be clear.
I can blaze the path, and then they can run it 2 years from now. We can keep on doing that.
Let's be clear. You're only 10 points behind, same place Ventura was.
Exactly,
but even more,
same place.
But even un, but even more undecided than you had back in the 90s. And
more
so,
undecided, and there's going to be about 20% more voters show up than they did for Ventura in 98. He had a 60%. They're predicting an 80% in Minnesota. So this thing is just completely up in the air, and if I can get this TV campaign funded, I'm going to win this thing. You know, I'll be shameless. I'll give you the plug for the website again. It's SenatorBarkley.com. Or if they want to call the office, our phones are busy right now, so keep trying at 763-417-9972. And just do your part. Like Jesse said, whether it's just $5, it'll all add up. You know, it's a small price to
pay. That's the point I wanted to make.
Insanity. Yes,
your competitors, the two establishment whores, that's what they are, they have raised $30 million. You have spent $50,000, and you're within 10 points of beating them. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this is the example of ideas over fluff and garbage. And if you want that gun grabber or you want that neocon in power, then you know, don't get involved here. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Eric in Kansas, then Eric in Wisconsin, and others. Go ahead. You're on the air, Eric.
Hey, Alex. This is Eric from the InfoWars Money Bomb, Senator Barkley.
Yes.
I just wanted to chime in and tell all my fellow listeners, I'm from Minnesota. Out there in Minnesota, we've got a whole lot of Swedes and a whole lot of Norwegians.
Yeah,
call them Norsemen.
Yep.
So if you like the idea of sending an angry Viking up to the Senate, we got to back this guy.
Thanks, guys. I can say okie dokie, as they say in Minnesota. Yeah, sure, you bet.
Is this Eric Nordstrom that did the Ron Paul money bomb and then did mine? Oh,
I'm
I wanted
sure.
to talk to him more, yeah. Well,
oh,
we should have done a money bomb for you. You know, I mean, it was his idea, and then people were saying, you're having a money bomb, you're having a money bomb. And then suddenly all this money came in, and we're using that for the new TV studio we'll soon give folks a tour of. But, wow, we should have done a money bomb. I just really didn't know that much about you, Mr. Barkley. I wish I would have gotten involved earlier.
Well, it's better late than never. We still have time. We still have 8 days to go before the election. And like I say, the next 3 days is when I need to raise the money. And if I can do it, like I said, Jesse, this will be a huge message. I don't think
well, let's be clear. Regardless, the TV ads are going to run. Just your political experts are telling you you need this extra amount to really be effective.
Yeah, I think I do. I think unfortunately, many Minnesotans get their messages from television. Television is expensive. I mean, I'm still going to be outspent 400-1, but if I can get enough TV ads on the air, we've got the buys already scheduled to go out. We believe we'll get enough coverage that we will then close the deal in this race. But I'm right now about $30,000-$40,000 short, which is just a pittance compared to what they're doing. But if I can raise $30,000-$40,000 in the next few days, I think this race can be won.
Well, I think it's going to happen here. We have the best audience in the world. Eric in Wisconsin. Eric, you're on the air.
How's it going, Alex?
Good.
I called in before when Jesse Ventura was on the show, and you guys really got me motivated. I did some research, and we have a candidate here, and I'm in Wisconsin, so I'm just over the river from you.
Oh, those cheeseheads, that's okay. We love cheeseheads, too.
Well, you know what? well, setting the football thing aside, Kevin Barrett's running for Congress over here, and I met him recently, and I'm helping him with his campaign. And we did a video shoot, it's on YouTube, where Kevin Barrett actually gave Ron Kind his pink slip wearing a V for Vendetta mask.
Well, good. Fire out the website then.
His website is Kevin Barrett or no BarrettForCongress.us.
Okay, I'm going to jump. I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Matt in New York. You're on the air, Matt.
Hey, Alex, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Senator Barkley. It's Matt from MobilizeThePeople.com. Alex, I want to thank you for waking me up a few years back. You've definitely set the example on the bar pretty high. It's actually refreshing to hear from representatives like Senator Barkley on your show. Alex, Thomas Jefferson once prophetically said that every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves, therefore, are its only safe depositories. How do you guys, Senator Barkley especially, how do you feel about that?
Jefferson was a wise man. Jefferson always said, also said that, you know, having a revolution every generation or two would be good for our democracy.
Yeah.
And I think the time is right for that revolution.
You said the tree of liberty must be nourished from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I recently spoke with Chuck Schumer over here in New York, and I was asking him about the Federal Reserve. And to be quite honest, you know, these incumbent politicians, they have absolutely no answers, no responses. Either they're clueless or they just don't want to acknowledge.
No, they act clueless. Fact. They're bought and paid for the New World Order. Got to jump, Matt. Wayne in Mississippi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Thanks for what you're doing, man. Well, I'm a Iraq vet, and I got a couple questions to ask him.
Okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
All right, man. What are you going to plan to do about the VA system? And I want you, what are you going to do about clarifying the casualty report over there? Because what they flash on CNN ain't true.
That's right. If you die out of country, they don't count it as a death. So it's really close to 18,000, not 5,000. Correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely. What we're going to do with our veterans, I mean, we're going to spend, you know, we have 700 foreign military bases. We have troops in Germany and Japan that we don't need. If we cut those costs, we'll actually have more than enough money to adequately care for those who have given their lives and they've become wounded and coming back. We have an obligation to make sure our vets are taken care of.
What about an investigation on the casualty reports?
Well, that's the first time I've heard that. I'm sorry, but I certainly would take a look at that. If they're underestimating or underreporting casualties, you know, it's just another one of the lies that led us into this, and we have to undercover
well,
that.
Well, it's like not letting people photograph the coffins or
the
funerals.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, they don't see if you die in Iraq, it counts. But if you die in Ramstein, or you die back in the U.S. a month later, a week later, a day later, it doesn't count.
No, they're just trying to sanitize war, aren't they? You know, it's just incredible. I mean, no, if you got shot in Iraq, I'll be honest. It's the first time I heard that. And then you die in a hospital outside of Iraq, that doesn't count. Well, do we know what the real death toll is?
Yeah, it's around 18,000, according to sources, and even major institutions. You know what? I know you've got a lot of other interviews coming up, but can we do 5 more minutes on the other side so we can finish up with these calls?
Sure.
Okay. Former Senator Dean Barkley, he was there appointed for a month. He's the guy that got Jesse Ventura into politics. He's a great guy. We need to get behind him. Close race in Minnesota. Jason Burmes in studio with us. We'll be with us for the rest of the broadcast today. Selig Costello coming up. Talking to Dean Barkley, SenatorBarkley.com.
Ira Hayes.
Number to their campaign, 763-417-9972.
Call him drunken.
763-417-9972. Your chance to be part of history. Take action. Will it fix everything? Probably not, but if we know we sit on our butts, it'll only get worse. Think how bad it would be if you weren't taking action. So taking action's half the battle. I got unlimited calls to take. We've got to let our guests go here in about 5 minutes. Let's talk to AJ in Minnesota. AJ in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes. Hey, Alex Dean, it's a pleasure to be with you, fine gentleman, today. Before I get to my question here, I just wanted to say, Alex, I tuned in on the web to the concert last night, and it was fantastic. I appreciate you getting that organized.
You bet. You bet. Well, really, what it was is Willie invited us to that concert, and then we did some live feeds, but the whole thing was going late. It was overfilled, a whole lot of stuff on it, but we are going to have videos of us there doing interviews and doing live feeds, and some of the feeds didn't go out, but we have recordings from there, so the stuff where the web was going out on us, we're going to get up. But go ahead and ask your question, sir.
Great, I'll check for it. Yeah, my question was to both of you. I don't know if you were aware of the End the Fed campaign that's being organized for November 22nd across
the nation. Yes, I know. Genesis is promoting that.
Oh, sure.
Running
ads. I was just wondering, obviously you're in support of it, Alex. Senator, if you were aware of that.
There's demonstrations everywhere to end the private Federal Reserve. Are you aware of that New World Order operation, Senator?
No, I haven't. I'm not aware of that, but I have as many questions as anyone of what the Federal Reserve, why it was created in the first place, why we gave up our currency and our treasury to a private institution. And I certainly am very interested in that position that you're taking. I certainly will listen to your arguments of why we think the Federal Reserve has to go.
All right. Anything else, AJ?
What's that?
Anything else from Minnesota?
No, that should be it. I plan to be out there at our regional branch here in Minneapolis on the 22nd. So anybody that's listening, I encourage you to get out there and support us.
Protest the Fed nationwide at all its branch banks on the 22nd. Thank you. Ken in New Jersey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Alex?
Good.
Alex, I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for opening up my eyes to what's going on in this country today. My question or comment, really, to the senator is, this is the first time ever I ever heard of a senator that's running for president to sit and talk on a regular talk show where people could actually ask him a question.
Yeah, running for Senate, yeah.
Pardon me?
Running for Senate, yes.
Running for Senate, rather. I mean, it's just nice to have that today. I mean,
well, my pleasure.
It really is. It's just nice for the people, the average person, to be able to reach out to a politician without having to wait in a long line.
Absolutely. Appreciate
it. And one thing I wanted to tell you, Alex, I live in a small community here in New Jersey. And believe it or not, I walked into a store that I always go in. It's a pharmacy. And believe it or not, the employees have a thumb scanner on the register here now.
No, thumb scanners to buy and sell. Going in everywhere, this is the control grid to shut down any underground economy. This is total enslavement. Appreciate your call. I take it you're not for Big Brother either, Senator Barkley.
No, I read George Orwell, 1984, and I think that we're there.
Well, in closing, overall, what do you think of the election this year, just the presidential one?
Well, I think we've got I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet. I think that I was hoping that Ron Paul would have run as an independent. We'd have a real choice in this election right now.
He's endorsed, of course, Chuck Baldwin, the head of the Constitution Party, much better than Bob Barr.
Oh, okay. Well, we do have Barr. We do have choices in this, and I urge people to educate themselves and take a look at who you really want. I mean, horse race between McCain and Obama, that's not the only race going on out there. So, go out and find out what these alternatives are. And if you don't like the Democrat or Republican, we'll send the message.
Let's cram one more in. Jose from New York. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hi. First-time caller and listener for at least a year now. And I, too, am glad that you opened my eyes, too. And also an EMT in New York City and New York State. Question for Senator.
Yes,
Barkley.
Well, I just wanted to know, did you hear of the Codex Alimentarius?
Gotta jump. That's where the internationalists want to take over the vitamins. Are you concerned about that?
I haven't heard of that issue, so I don't want to pretend I know something.
Are you for the FDA taking over and shutting down vitamins?
No.
There's your answer.
Not. No.
You're certainly aware of that going on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, it's been an amazing interview. Let me get you back up. Once the ads are running, maybe Friday or something, as we go into the last days of this key election for a quick update. And again, the website, SenatorBarkley.com, 763-417-9972. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
You bet. It was great having you here, and we will talk to you very soon. I'll say bye to you here off air. We'll be right back with Jason Berman, Stella Costello. Stay with us. More calls.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv for the rest of the broadcast. This man, there on your screen, Jason Bermas, is riding shotgun with us. Bermas, you lived down here for what, 5 months?
About four and a half, yeah.
Yeah, it was really great having you down here, and it's like old times to have you back. And we're just now about to move the next week or so out of this office. We're building the radio studio and the TV studio, and it's trying to save money and order stuff. Off eBay and stuff for the parts, because we couldn't afford it if we bought even the low-grade stuff for real TV studios. Or on radio, we got some decent equipment, but that's getting built up. That's happening. Have we given you a tour of the new office yet?
Yeah, I was actually down there the last time, the last day that I was here before I flew out. I went down there, and I was with Tim's sister, and I got the whole tour of the whole place. It's exciting, Alex.
Yeah, but now it's all
place.
Filled up. Yeah, it's 7,800 square feet. This is 2,200.
Yeah, I haven't
been
in
here like sardines. And we had another little satellite office because this wasn't big enough. We're getting rid of both these. We just got rid of the other one. We're getting rid of this one. And thanks to everybody's support out there. I want to go to phone calls and talk about all the insane news here today. But I was going to have you just do the show today, but then Ventura's like, let's get Dean on. Let's try to help him. And so I came in. I'm not trying to be a wimp. I'm not like Ventura, man. 3 hours sleep after 2 days of tiring shooting. I'm fried right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am just really, really tired right
now. But how good does it feel to get that response? I mean, he said his phone's off the hook. The website's all over the place. You might help this guy win a 1 in 100 election. You know, I mean, we only have 2 senators per state. This is a huge election. To get an independent on the Senate floor would be very big. So I hope this continues all day. I know you're rebroadcast all day on AM and FM, shortwave, of course, on the internet. I don't want people to let up. You know, let's get this guy elected. At least we'll have 1 win in this election season.
Well, it's the will to resist. I mean, it's all, and of course, there's election fraud. But I found with Minnesota, and I've studied the states, and we've had all the voting experts on, Florida's real bad, California's real bad, New York, New Hampshire, all those key states. But Minnesota has some electronic machines, some fraud, but the people are so involved there with, you heard him, 80-something percent highest voter turnout in the country on average. I mean, they're really active there. They've had a lot of problems putting in their fraudulent systems, and that's why we've been seeing some independents and people get in there. But, hey, the video, the problem is we have 3 cameras that shot about 3.5 hours of footage at Willie's house. We were there about 4, but we shot for 3.5 hours. We had some behind-the-scenes discussions we didn't want to tape. So imagine we have all those tapes. Then we have about 2 hours of tape per camera, 3 cameras, with Ventura driving around in the days he was here, day and a half he was here, or a little more than day and a half. Point is, he came in Saturday, left today. All this going on that we're going to get this up for everybody. People are like, oh, yeah, interesting, Willie Nelson and Ventura and Alex Jones. No, there's some incredible stuff. Now, some of it was off record. We're not going to get into I guess the cameras were off, so it doesn't matter. But without getting into too much of what's going on and some of the things Ventura and I are up to with TV and things, just those discussions. And Willie's usually doesn't talk a lot, talking a lot, said a lot. These are some powerful videos that are going to be out on PrisonPlanet.tv.
Absolutely. And to have Willie Nelson sit there with an independent like Jesse Ventura and really a maverick like yourself and discuss the issues that still matter. 9/11 still matters. This presidential election still matters. We talked about the bailout with us and that criminal enterprise. We talked about farming and how they've made that into a criminal enterprise. So, you know, it was just so awesome, Alex. I mean, this is an icon. This is somebody who's not going to be around forever. I mean, Willie's 75 years old. You know, we will make these interviews live on forever. And that's what's great about what we do. You know, our work will live on far beyond, you know, Alex Jones, Jason Burmes, Jesse Ventura, Willie Nelson. And to have somebody with that much influence, I mean, you saw those people going crazy for him last night when he was on stage, 6,000 people roaring for Willie Nelson. Well, it's more like probably 60 million worldwide that listen to what he has to say. So I'm so stoked what we've been able to accomplish in the last 2 days. I'm so excited to put this out for other people to listen to other people to see. And when you see, again, how this man lives, you won't believe it. I mean, it's a real modest living.
And by the way, I was like, you're sure you want us to take cameras in your house, in your bedroom, in your back room, you know, in your... And he was like, come on.
Yeah, he's like, just come on in. No, everything's good. I don't care if you roll. And I was just like, wow. And he had that awesome balcony. I mean, I guess some people have seen some of the pictures that we put up so they can see that skyline. But it's really incredible, man. And
he's got all these hills and mountains all around him. He's up on top of it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like he said.
The point is, it's always great to be up on a big vista with mm-hmm. Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, and Nelson talking about how, you know, again, at that age, how he's on 200 venues a year live and then working even more than that.
And making 2 or 3 movies a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and he's even built his own little kind of like a Western studio place. It's kind of like you're going into one of those old villages. And then
they built it in the 70s. Yeah. And because it's old churches and real old buildings they brought in from all over Texas, it's like you're in the real deal with the weeds growing up. I mean, it's not like it's even a fake town.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura said it was like being in Gunsmoke. He was just waiting for somebody to walk out of the saloon and take out their 6-shooter. So I thought that was great. You know, it was just an incredible time. We're sitting there. We're looking at the Redheaded Stranger poster. We're looking at just Willie throughout the years in the background. And he doesn't really care about himself. I mean, he's just listening to a little radio and hanging out behind the bar. It was just the coolest thing ever. I mean, how about the shot of him on the lawnmower? You know, he just did that recently.
He just suddenly jumps out of the truck, and me and Willie riding around in his truck.
Yeah, absolutely. And he looked like he was having a grand old time. You see the last video he shot with Woody Harrelson was all up at his house, and he has a little track race. We even got to meet some of his family. They were very nice people. I mean, what an experience, folks. I mean, what an experience. And the way Jesse was mobbed when we actually went to the backyard in the back, I mean, you couldn't walk 5 feet without somebody coming up to Ventura and being, oh, Jesse, can I get a, I need a picture right now, Jesse, I love what you do.
And I mean, just as an indicator of how far our movement's gone, we were mobbed by the people.
Oh, yeah.
Not just in the front, but in the backstage.
Oh, yeah, there were plenty of people coming up to you.
Myself included, yeah.
Oh, yeah, people, Alex, I love what you do, thank you so much.
It shows we're really having an effect.
Yeah.
And the thing is, people have to get ready to win. you have to get ready for us to get Best Actress this year, and German defense ministers and Italian former president and Hollywood people and Bruce Willis and Rick Linkletter and Naomi Wolf, all these mainline liberals. We have to be ready to win. We have to be ready to wake up conservatives and liberals. We have to be ready to have icons come to our aid, you know, because, you know, that's showing their courage to speak out. And I have to say, you know, some of Willie's folks are scared of what he's doing with us. You know, he's been death threatened quite a bit for coming on this show, and he hasn't given in to it. And but, you know, some of the people around him don't like it. Mm. And so that's something that has to be understood, too. There are people out there that are doing everything they can to stop this information from coming out. We've been getting a lot of death threats here at the office lately, and some people are even signing their names onto them. And we're so busy fighting the New World Order that we're not even stopping to, you know, to deal with that. Everything that's happening is so exciting. And I know folks are really chomping at the bit to see all these behind-the-scenes video, because that's the key. Also, the live little speeches we did there, some of the reports we did from the venue. So that is all coming up. Burmese, you never turn your cell phone off when you come in studio.
I try. Sorry,
but you're like holding it instead of turning it off. Just take it out and turn it off.
Turning it off, sir.
You're a little – no, I mean, I know it's radical to say turn your cell phone off. Hey, look at mine. It's turned off.
See, mine's busted. It's hard to turn off. All right, there we go. Got it done. Oh, boy. You've got my cell phone, good sir.
Put these on both sides of my head and cook my brain.
How about Jesse Ventura refusing to carry a cell phone?
I love the government. I love the New World Order. Ah, the government's good. They never lie. Everything's fine. Sure, they're talking about martial law all over the news and rioting and police state, but it's safe. Oh, the government loves me.
I'm going to keep this for the duration of the broadcast. Like the teacher, I'm going to sit right over there.
All right.
You want this.
Oh.
Take me and strike me down with it. All of your power.
It's hard not to be hooked in, Alex. I mean, I guess I kind of envy Ventura because he won't carry around a cell phone. But how is anyone going to get in touch with that man while he's down in Mexico? I guess it's just not going to happen.
That's the plan.
Yeah, I know that is the plan. Good for him. I can't leave society.
I know where he lives now. He told me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about his whole deal. And, dude, again, just awesome. I mean, Jesse Ventura is talking about how he's powering his whole home down there by solar energy, you know, getting off the grid.
And, again, people say, oh, who cares about celebrities? Well, the point is the culture does. They're mad with it. They're obsessed with it. And to have big celebrities coming out for 9/11 truth, coming out against the war, coming out against the New World Order, that is the shift in society. And the establishment is scared. And then to find out that, you know, Jesse Ventura is so real, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a lot of celebrities, and these are two super genuine guys compared to most celebrities. I mean, just so real.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just one time. You know, they didn't just come on your show one time. They keep pressing the issue. And there continues to be other people that aren't just celebrities. Who is it? The Japanese parliamentary member, what is it, Fujita, I believe his name is?
Yeah.
He just went again and did a 25-minute speech before Parliament on 9/11 truth, and he keeps pressing that issue in Japan, and that is very important.
And he's one of the top leaders in his party.
That's right, and it's the opposition party. It's one of the two main parties over there, and for him to get up in front of those politicians and say what he's saying is so beneficial to our movement. It gives us a global credibility that we're going to need to topple these tyrants, you know. We need more people in governments around the world to start talking about this. We need more celebrities to start talking about this. We need more mainline talk show hosts to start talking about this stuff. And I think Jesse Ventura, Willie Nelson, Charlie Sheen, Rosie O'Donnell, these are great ways to get it out because they do have that influence.
And
in
it creates
contexts.
A big media circus, which then people hear about 9/11 truth. They hear about government-sponsored terror. And by people say, well, that was 7 years ago. If we don't expose 9/11... at least to the public mind, you know, much less convictions, then they will continue to carry it out over and over again. They continue to use it to take your freedoms.
That's right, and it's not like 9/11 is an isolated incident. We know the 7/7 bombings in Europe, in London, had drills going on at the same exact time of the same exact train stations being blown up. I mean, is that a coincidence, Alex? Of course it's not a coincidence. And the real key to that not being a coincidence, and this being more state-sponsored terror, to control people, to instill fear in people, to grab onto your liberties and freedoms. You had a member of these drills, a member of Visor Consultants, Peter Power, someone who was not in the loop, getting on Sky Television and the BBC, and new listeners can check this out, saying that the hair on the back of his neck is standing up right now because at the exact same time they were running drills of blowing up the exact same train stations. And the BBC kind of follows up on it and goes, that is an incredible coincidence. He's like, yes, it is an incredible coincidence. And then last year, because of people like you and myself, We Are Change, which is now a global institution. I mean, if you want it, you got it. You can go up to a politician. You can go up to somebody who is a corporate entity. You can go up to one of these elites and ask a question. We Are Change Ireland, in a country far, far away, finds Peter Powers, asks him who he's going to run the drills, who he was running the drills for, and the man walks into a closet, Alex. He walks not into another room.
He was hiding.
In a closet. If that doesn't scream guilt. And that's just, those are just two instances that we can prove in the last 2 years.
By the way, Nish has had to admit now that the North Tower didn't fall into the South Tower, didn't knock out 25 to 30% of it. But Jesse's doing, well, I don't want to get into it. The point is, he's going around confronting all these people, mm-hmm. and they're still just spewing the same bull.
That's right. That's right. It's the same talking.
Man, I know so much I can't talk about here.
Well, you know, I mean,
a lot of exciting stuff.
I still get those talking points, too. Oh, 25% of the back face of World Trade Center 7 was scooped out. That
we have video.
And it's not. We have video inside the building.
And now NIST has retracted that.
Yeah, they absolutely have.
And then now these big firms, institutions, and big architecture institutes are coming out and saying, we've read your report. This is impossible.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But again, the debunkers count on people being stupid and not looking deeper.
Mm-hmm.
They just count on putting out disinformation, and that isn't working anymore.
No, it's absolutely right. Let me give you an example of what they do. Okay, they just make a claim that is completely untrue and then run with it. For instance, one of the big debunkers' claims is that the military drills that morning immediately ended as soon as the real attacks happened. And they just spew this. They give no evidence. But we have the NORAD tapes, Alex. These drills went on all morning long, at least through Flight 93 going down. And then when they called them to Cheyenne Mountain, it took another 20 to 25 minutes for them to shut these drills down. That's all morning. That's not 8:45 they stopped. But that doesn't matter, because whenever I talk to a debunker, they say right away, oh, well, they put those drills on hold at 8:45. That ended. That's not real. There was no hijacking drills that morning. When you can look at the NORAD games, Vigilant Guardian, Vigilant Warrior, Apollo Guardian, Global Guardian, and they're running live hijack drills. They're running a mass Armageddon exercise where E-4Bs, in other words, mobile command centers for the quote-unquote shadow government or continuity of government program, just happen to be on the scene of the attacks.
Now, Burmese, I want to add something here before we get into some other news and take phone calls before Sully Costello joins us. You're wanting to do a radio show again. You've been so busy making Fabled Enemies that you quit your Genesis show for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving into the other studio, but I don't have the people hired to do the video in. You're going to do a show over Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
I have no desire to get involved with the radio network. I'm so tired of people telling me that. There's no way I would try to get involved managing all those personalities and dealing with all of it, but I want to get your show back on Genesis. You're talking, but it will also be streamed on PrisonPlanet.tv, and so look for that in the next few months.
I mean, yeah.
You're building your studio. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a nice little area there and do a two-hour show. We're not sure about what time to do it. We had talked about this in the past. So Jason Burmese will be coming back on the airwaves in the next few months. But let's not procrastinate forever and then not have it happen. But the other variant of that, it's also going to be on the web at PrisonPlanet.tv. And you're building a TV studio. The screen's behind you, you know, video feeds.
I'm blessed, Alex.
And then our new studio, you know, not just for the TV show I'm going to do nationally, that's only 1 hour a week starting, then also do, you know, web reports from the nice setup and everything. But we're going to have a studio for radio. It's got little robotic cameras and a big back screen and curtains. And it's going to have a podium, too, where I can give speeches or have announcements. I mean, it's pretty kick butt.
I really believe we're going to give the mainstream media a hell of a run for their money, and they're not even going to see it coming. I mean, I really do. I mean, our studios are going to look slick. Hopefully our presentation is going to be bigger than ever, and more people are going to be pulled into this, Alex. I mean, you've done so much already.
And, folks, we would do this faster, but when you're busy working 16, 17 hours, I mean, more. Last night I got up at 7. We had breakfast with Ventura. We went there and got ready and met him for breakfast at 9. But I got up at, like, really 6:30, left the house at 7, came and met with you guys at 8. And we went. And then last night I dropped him off at, you know, 12:30, and we came back here to the office, worked some more. Then I went home.
It's a 20-hour day.
Yeah, exactly. And then I couldn't help myself. I had to go look up this Dean Berkeley, a Barkley candidate, you know, on the web. I mean, literally, we're burning with the passion for liberty and freedom. And people ask how we can work so much, because we have passion. And, folks, you've got that same passion. You've just got to put it into effect in small ways. It will build. Whether your radio show online has 10 listeners or a million, you know, the point is taking action, or using Access TV or Micro FM. More people need to put up micro FM and, you know, put on some of these networks. I mean, there's so much, but you were talking about something when I interrupted you.
No, that's okay, Alex. I mean, again, I really think we're going to give the mainstream media a run for their money. I think we're going to be slick. You've done such a great job with your PrisonPlanet.tv fourth hour on the air show in the last, what's only been on, what, about 6, 7 months? Not even?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so huge. I mean, you see it every day and it's getting 10, 15, 20,000 hits on YouTube. That's awesome.
Yeah, let's explain. The members get the live stream and the higher quality. Without it, we couldn't operate. You folks aren't just getting our higher quality streams and videos. You are making it possible here. And then we love the members ripping and getting it all over the map. But the great guy over at the Alex Jones channel, which is not us, mm-hmm. I mean, we're not control freaks. He tried to, you know, give us the channel, and we're like, you know. But the more I think about it, maybe we should, just so some other cretin doesn't get in and attack us, because, you know, that's how it works. But the guy's real nice. But this morning I got an email. Literally no sleep, 3.5 hours. I'm in here stumbling around being before the show, like an hour before. And then we see his email saying, hey, guys, you know, you didn't post my latest videos. I mean, yeah, it's just Kurt Nemo over at InfoWars. We're overwhelmed. And then that's what I feel bad about, is that our own supporters, people that email me, and I'm not bashing him, he's a great guy, he works so hard. He posts like 10, 15 videos a day. And thank you, Alex Jones, channel guy. I don't even have time to call him up on the phone and think. I don't have time to hardly see my family anymore. And I'm going to say this. We're almost done with the studios. I'm going to have to take some time off just to be with my family. My children are getting big, and I don't, you know, I'm seeing them 2 hours a day. But I'm kind of tired today, so I'm just kind of brainstorming and babbling. The point is to all of you, we appreciate you. We just can't respond to the emails and everything. Never sung along to this song.
Stingray!
The last bumper music was Jimmy Vaughn. I got to see him play it live last night on the stage, Alex. How great was that? I know we're going to put some of that up there, too, Jimmy Vaughn.
Yeah, we did an interview with him and Ventura.
Yeah. He was a really nice guy.
Yeah, they're great, great people. And that's why, Robin. Oh, my goodness. We got Sully Castillo coming up. That really bums me out. We'll have him on at the 8 after. Set up by the feds. 3-year conviction.
Is that what they sentenced him to?
Yeah, I got that fun email this morning. Well, I mean, it's hard enough just to read all these emails. And Trey's in there reading them as fast as he can. Aaron's in there trying to read them in between webmastering and posting videos and doing everything else. And I'm not complaining. I was trying to explain before the break, we are limited. I mean, there's 1, 2, 3. There's really 3 people who full time or even part time deal with video here, mm-hmm. and then I've got in this office 2 people that can do web stuff, and then I've got the 2 Watsons, and we got Kurt, and I mean in the bigger office we can now get a few extra people to try to go over all this stuff. I'm just all the time I get emails going. When I email my senator, I get a response back. I'm not getting a response back from you folks. We don't have it. Now I'll say this: we could have another Bonnie bomb called answer all the emails, respond to all the phone calls, money bomb. But in a way, I don't think that's, I mean, I know I'm missing a lot of calls. I mean, when Charlie Sheen tried to get in contact with me, he tried to get in contact with me for a month until we finally got his email and saw it. It's the same thing with so many other people that I've missed. I mean, I've run into celebrities later, like, I tried to contact you 3 years ago. You know, so we do need to be able to go through everything, but at the same time, I don't even know why I'm getting off into this. It's just I make the point time and time again. I see so many people get mad that we can't respond.
Or we can't tell every story. Yeah.
Or cover every event. They think it's like a conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, folks, I am literally dizzy right now. I'm so tired.
Yeah, I mean, I just got an email the other day about this Rothschild situation. Apparently one of the younger Rothschilds wrote a big letter to the editor in Europe accusing the shadow chancellor over there and Mendelsohn.
Yeah, that's in the press.
Yeah, of taking illegal contributions from this Russian billionaire. And the guy's like, well, why aren't you guys covering it? It sounds suspicious to me. I'm like, look, man, there's only the BBC America in this neck
no,
of the
woods. No, you just told us.
Yeah, you just told us. We don't see that in our media, number one.
In fact, we need you to email us stories and links and news, because I probably a tenth of my emails are, why are you covering this up? It's something that happened 2 hours ago or a day ago. And I'm like,
sometimes it could be a week and we miss it. I mean, we're not perfect. We're human beings like everybody else, Alex. I mean, we're not perfection, you know, and we need more people.
God, we're far
emails.
From it. Are you kidding? Far from it. Look at this. Look at these eyes. far from perfection. I was basically going through clouds of smoke yesterday. And it wasn't any secondhand willy weed.
I'm just joking. No, I mean, what's like?
You know how it is when you're out of the Willy Land. I mean, how cool is it that he hangs out on this tour bus? I mean, he literally, you know, you hear that.
No, we walked on the bus and nothing was going on. It was like layers.
It's just crazy to me, man. I mean, this
literally like in an old smoke-filled bar, but yeah. It wasn't cigarettes.
And it wasn't even really a decked-out bus, you know, Willy, again, just totally
It
modest.
Looked like my grandmother's kitchen.
Yeah, it's like salt of the earth. Like, yeah, literally.
Like
right.
His house.
Yeah.
It's just one big kitchen. Yeah. So everybody really lives in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And if I ever had the money for a really big house, that's what I'd have. Is I'd have a house with a huge kitchen mm-hmm. built onto the living room.
Yeah, and it was a gorgeous house, but again, very modest. I'd never seen that construction. People will see little clips of it, but they actually had, like, cut wood trees in the cement. It was really
That's the German style.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And those are really great. All right, we have really babbled here. You know, you ought to go, because I'm going to have Costello on for about 30 minutes, so you ought to go pull, later during a break, I want you with us. You want to go pull that particular Rothschild story, because I saw that, I think, yesterday in the morning. I never got to it. This is the first time I've been back on air. So we'll cover that, too, coming up. I got a bunch of other news. Stay with us.